Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day, Lord. Father, we thank you that you have created this day and that on this day we can live for you, that we get to glorify you with our deeds and with our actions, Lord. Father, I pray that our desire would be to glorify you with everything that we do, Lord. That your glory is what our hearts would long for, that we would be overwhelmed by your presence. Lord, I thank you so much for what you have done in the lives here today. And I thank you for what you're going to continue to do. Lord, I ask that you would just have your hand on Pastor Jesse this morning. Lord, that you would guide what he speaks and that the words would sink deep into our hearts, Lord, and that we would not leave this way. We'd not leave this place the same way that we came into it this morning. Lord, draw us closer to you and make us more like your son. In Jesus' name we ask.
Welcome to River of Hope this morning. I was kind of envisioning when I saw the forecast that it would be, you know, sunny and blue skies and kind of like we had a couple weeks ago before winter decided to rear its ugly head again. I will accept the warmth even though we still have the gray skies. So I don't know about you guys, but that's encouraging to me to know that seasons are changing. One thing I always remember, and actually, you know what, I'm going to preach for just a second here. I wasn't planning to, but I'm going to right now. We always talk about changing seasons, right? And lives changing and God doing things and you can see progress and you can see things happening. And maybe sometimes our lives look a lot like the weather has this year, where you have this bright spot and you think everything's turning on and going perfect and the sun is shining and life is getting all warm and the season is changing and then all of a sudden it just pops right back in and it's winter and you're in the doldrums again. Now, maybe you can relate to that. And if you can, like many of us, remember that there are seasons for everything and God continues to work in each and every season for our betterment and for our good. Now, that's not my message for today, but I really felt like I had to share that. God was just speaking to me there. Let's prepare to take up our morning tithes and offerings. Last week, a bad on my part is we took up our offering and then we asked you or presented an opportunity for you to give towards a cause that we are pursuing here at River of Hope. So you can tell when you're here that coffee is something that we love, and I hope you do too. If not, we have the teas and the orange juices and all that fun stuff too. The reason behind all of it is missions. So it's not for our love of coffee that we decided to somehow turn it into ministry. It's for our love of missions that just happened to have another ministry that fed into coffee. So keep that in mind. We're not feeding our own desires and turning it into something that we feel is a ministry. Instead, we're funding a ministry and also providing a service here through it. If you look on the back wall, right by that painting of a bridge, or canvas of a bridge, you see five pictures right there. That is not all of our missionaries. That is five of eight. I believe we have eight that we are supporting right now, which for a church of our size and our age is doing awesome. And I have to give you guys a lot of credit for always being willing to hear out missionaries and to support them and to send them. As the body of Christ, we are called to do that, to either go ourselves or to send those who are willing to go. And that just shows a little bit of the culture, a little bit of the heart of River of Hope, and each one of you that you are willing to do that. Part of the vision with that coffee bar is that we can have a whole atmosphere out there, not just have it so you can walk in and see that nice setup that's been made, and we're trying to do everything as professional as possible, but we want to be able to have people come in and have that coffee shop feel, that nice, do you know what it is when you walk into a coffee shop? It's kind of a nice intimate setting. It's quiet typically, unless it's filled with high schoolers as it sometimes can be, but it's quiet. You can have one-on-one conversations. You can sit as a group around a table and you can just get to know each other in a different way. That's the atmosphere that we want to create here at River of Hope. We already have it to a degree, you know, because we're a small church, we're a small congregation. You can come in and kind of have that, but we want to take it to another level and make it as professional as possible. One of the visions that we had, just to catch you all up, when you look in that foyer, you see these drop-down false ceilings in one over the coffee bar and one by the TV. Those were really intended to be unique areas within one large room to have smaller sections. And the one under by the TV was intended for coffee tables. So right now, we are actually moving forward to pursue taking River of Hope to another level of professionalism. When you walk in those doors, you won't see those big round banquet tables. You're going to see a nice intimate coffee house setting with some tables and some chairs and some stools, some different heights, things like that, that really are going to just put another dot on the I, if you will. You know, we're doing a lot of good things in bringing welcoming visitors and helping them to feel as welcome as possible, but to take it to another level. We want to do that. So we're asking you to partner with us. Do you have the picture, Caleb, of the coffee bar tables that we're looking at purchasing? What we're asking is that you would be willing to consider sponsoring a table, maybe a table and chairs, maybe just a chair. Just asking you to do what you can above and beyond your tithes to help feed into this mission and help River of Hope have another way of being presentable to the community. And that's one thing we really want to do, is be as professional as we can. We need to understand our community, and a part of our community is that we do have a lot of professionals, business professionals, doctors, healthcare workers. We have a lot of that. Bankers. How many banks do we have in town, Roland? Oh, credit unions. I don't know how many times I've been corrected on that one. Is there four or five? There's a lot. So you can understand there's a culture of excellence, small businesses, business owners. All of that has a call for professionalism, right? And that's what we want to be able to do here at River of Hope, is to present ourselves as professional as possible. That is the mission, the goal of this kind of little campaign. Right there you see it's kind of it's a cell phone picture. So I hope you can just bear with us on this one. The shorter tables and the taller tables, there's two heights of stools. Amanda knows all the numbers. I don't. Do you remember the tables are $179 each, and we're looking to buy five. And then chairs, what did we say, $40 each? How many chairs are we looking to buy? Okay, 14 to 16. So that is what we're looking to do. If you have... if that appeals to your senses, if God is, you know, asking you or compelling you to give towards that, just write it on your envelope that you would like to donate. If you can't sponsor a table or a chair, but you can just do something, just designate that to that amount. We want to try to do to make these purchases in probably the next month. It's something really that I believe that just shows a little bit more about the heart and the drive of River of Hope and reaching communities and outside events. It will also give us a better way to interface with the community to say, hey, we've got an area you can come, you can use. And in almost all cases, it's free of charge for people to come in and to use our facility. So we want to be able to offer that in the best way possible. I'm ranting right now, so I'm going to stop talking. We are going to pray over our tithes and offerings. You will see the envelope in the seat back pocket in the chair in front of you. You can utilize that for your offering and your tithe this morning, if you would bow with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this time that we can just reflect once again on your glory. On your power, on your creative, just the joy you have in creating new things and restoring and bringing things back to life. Father, we thank you for the gifts and the talents you've given each and every one of us. Lord, you've blessed us in unmeasurable ways. We just ask that you would take this offering as we give back to you, that you would receive it, Lord, and that you would bless it and multiply it for your kingdom's purpose. We thank you, Jesus. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Two real quick announcements. Tonight, we're not going that long, I promise you. Today, following service, We are having our Hope 101 condensed version classes, so we are fitting 4 weeks of classes into the next two Sundays. So if you signed up, please plan to stay. If you didn't sign up, but you're interested in learning more about us, about our mission, about really what we believe, I would encourage you to stay. Hope 101 is not only an informational meeting, it is also a membership class. So you can go through, in this case, the next 2 weeks, and at the end of next week, you have an opportunity to become a member. And now, if you go through the class, you don't have to become a member. You can utilize this just for your own learning experiences. But we do give that opportunity at the end of the class next week. And lastly, I'm going to pass around a sign-up sheet for our March fellowship meal. This will be taking place on March 26th, which is 3 weeks, something like that, 3 weeks out. So I'll be passing this around for signing up. All right, so we're going to dig right into our message today. You will see that sign-up sheet being passed around, but for time's sake, we're going to keep moving. We are jumping into to Romans chapter 1. Last week, we went to Romans 1, 1 through 17. Just spent a little bit of time there talking somewhat about our relationships and how we need to have relationships that we can encourage others in and that also encourage and help build our faith, and that we need to have those being our core relationships, those that encourage and build our faith, and that we can work with them and build faith up in that as well. So that was kind of a key point that we had from last week. Just to catch you up a little bit, if you weren't able to hear the message last week, you can go to our website and listen to the podcast to get caught up. We're jumping back into Romans chapter 1, verse 18 through the end of chapter 1. I am going to be reading, I'm going to be reading from the ESV version today, which is the English Standard Version. I like to change it up a little bit once in a while. What we read from, it just the language shifts a little bit, and the words are understood differently in different versions. So we're reading from the ESV. Verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse." Verse 21, "For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things." Verse 24, "Therefore God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions, for the women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature, and the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. Before we work our way back through that text, let's pray. Lord God, I thank you. I thank you for Paul's writings, his letter to Rome and to the Roman church that we are studying from today. Father, I pray and ask that you would give wisdom this morning. That you would give discernment and that the words that would come from my mouth would be holy and pure from you alone. Lord God, I pray and ask that this text would be opened up so that we can understand and see your true heart, your meaning through these words. We just ask that your spirit would move through this message and move through our hearts and through our minds today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before we dig into the text I just read, I want to read verses 16 and 17 from last week. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. That's an interesting transition that Paul is giving in his text to Rome. We already know that from last week that Paul is writing to the Roman people. But what we need to understand is that the Romans were not just the people of Rome. There were a lot of people who were immigrants into Rome. There were Jews. I'm gonna draw a blank on all of the other names, but there's just a kind of this mass of people from different cultures, from different people groups living in Rome, primarily Greek, but a lot of Jews also. So in his writings, he is addressing both the Greek mentality, but he's also including the Jewish people. And the main theme of this portion of Romans chapter 1 is really saying, hey, we all are equal in our sin. Okay, I'm going to give you that right now. That is Paul's main theme through this portion of the text, is we are all equal. There is no one, Jew nor Greek, who is better than the other, who is less deserving of the wrath of God for our sin. That is the theme of this second portion in Romans chapter 1. The heading, if your Bible has them, at least in mine, says God's wrath on unrighteousness. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. Who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. When we read that verse alone, you can understand that the culture that Paul is writing to there is eerily similar to our own here. We see a culture that will go its own direction, who will do what feels best for them, who will make decisions based on what they would prefer themselves to be versus what they were created to be. Right? One of the biggest things you're hearing talked about in culture and politics is this transgender thing going on. How confused has our culture gotten? Who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. See, it takes generations for cultures to shift the way they have. It's not just my generation or the generation preceding me that misguided the current generation. To be questioning who they are. But it's because of our own willingness to selfishly follow our own path and to allow our own sin and our own unrighteousness to suppress the truth that is created within each and every one of us, that we've been lost, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. I'm going to read that passage that I just read out of the New Living Translation. They know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. In the context, maybe you've heard it said, the Great Commission, right? The Great Commission is that that people would go to every end of all ends of earth, that every ear should hear the gospel, the word of God, right? That's the Great Commission. Do we all know that? Do we all understand? As Jesus was speaking to the disciples, he gave us a great commission that we should go to our community, to our county, to our state, to our nation, to the farthest ends of the earth, sharing the message of Christ, salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. This text is telling us that on some level, every single person already knows there is God. On some level. Now, you have people that will suppress that truth, that will stand on it like it never existed, and will fight it to their bitter end. The problem is, the results of that action are the same as those who have heard the word and rejected it. We can look outside and we can see God's creation. We can look in this room and just look around the room and see the uniqueness of God's creation right in this place. And yet there are those who, through their own unrighteousness, can continue to suppress the truth. And in so doing that, they're also misleading others down a very dangerous path. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, so they have no excuse for not knowing God. Going back to the English Standard Version. Verse 21, for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Paul is talking, just to catch you up on the culture a little bit. Rome was filled with some of the greatest minds in history. As you look back, maybe you're the kind of person that just really loves history. You like to read about just the brilliant minds, the people that are... I'm completely losing my technical terms right now, but I think you understand what I'm saying. Some of the wisest people the most learned and educated people were from Rome, from Greece. Because they put such a high price and priority on education and learning, you had some that would come up and they would be raised to know and understand that there was a divine power that created everything. Now, along with that thought and that understanding is they also believed that that same divine creator also created other gods. So there's a this idea, this mentality that, yes, there is a God, but there's other things going on too that I can pay attention to, that I can. So there was no one true God in their minds. They did believe in a divine being, a divine creator, but it got skewed from there. And it's just amazing just to look into the history and some of the context of what's happening in Rome when Paul wrote this letter. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. That kind of gives a little bit of light to what I just shared about them understanding there was a divine creator, but then also believing that he created other gods. And instead of creating the creator, or worshiping the creator, they were choosing to worship these other gods, these other idols that they believed God himself gave them. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. The more that they began to worship what they felt God created, and making their own ideas and idols and images, the more their hearts were darkened and the more the harder it got for them to find God himself. Okay, now that you understand that context, what are we doing that is clouding up our ability to see and feel God move? What is in our lives that we are... What are we making idols ourselves? Because we understand that God created or gave us the ability to create, right? Our God is creative. He gave us the ability to create. The problem is when we take what God has given us and the creativity he's given us and we begin to worship that, whatever it might be, over God the Creator, we also are becoming futile in our thinking. The problem is that this mindset can sneak in very quickly and very quietly. And do you know how when you're doing something in life and you kind of, you're making changes, maybe it's things that you don't want to change, but it's just kind of slowly happening and you're not realizing. Maybe like myself, it can be eating. You know, you eat a little bit here and then the next day you do the same, the next day you do the same, and then you look in the mirror 3 weeks later and you're like, whoa, what happened? Okay. Our life can be that way. When we begin to lose focus on God alone, our attention begins to turn to something else, and then we slowly begin to migrate towards that something else and further away from God. We need to have a healthy balance of understanding that God has given us gifts and skills and talents. But we need to maintain that God has given us those gifts and skills and talents. And he has called us to work hard, to use them, to increase them, to glorify him with them. But whenever we get to the point of saying that God has given me this, but I have done it, well, that's dangerous ground. Because you're turning your attention off of God. Yeah, you gave him credit, but you also just said that you did it. you're shifting the focus off of God and onto yourself. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Verse 24, therefore God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves. I'm not going to spend a lot of time in this portion, partly because Paul is outright talking about homosexuality. This was a big problem in Rome. If you look into the history of Rome, you'll see it and you'll understand what's happening. And the problem was, this wasn't just men with men and women with women. It was children. Okay, and this was Rome. And it was accepted as okay in Rome. This is what Paul is writing about. So this whole portion here talking about dishonorable passions and men and men and women, we see that in our culture now, which is a problem. As Paul is really sharing this, he is pointing his finger right at Rome, right at the Greek people and their mindset and their mentality, which was accepting of the practice. In verse 26, it says, and since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. The problem is, if we allow ourselves to pursue sin, we can't bank on God reaching out and stopping us. Right? It's our action. It's our choice. We can ask God to save us if we've made a wrong turn, and he will do it. But if we are outright pursuing sin and unrighteous acts, don't be surprised when you hit the bottom. Right here it tells us, and since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. Basically saying, you're free, do what you want. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Once again, I say, is this text not sounding eerily similar to today's culture? Though they knew God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. One thing I need you to understand real quickly is I just shared about Paul pointing the finger right at Rome and Greek practices and all of that sin and lust. When he begins to list all of these vices, he's turning the text back to the Jewish people. He's saying, don't think you're off the hook, because this exists in you too. And though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, we know and understand that when Adam and Eve broke covenant with God in Eden, right? That put a sin nature in us, and that broke our relationship with God right there. It cut us off. And the text from Genesis on is God continuing to work through history, through people, through timelines to bring about redemption through Jesus. So though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, we need to understand that each and every one of us are in that statement. They not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. Paul's challenge is kind of hard to hear sometimes. What are we a part of? And maybe it's not our own vice, but maybe we're in relationship with someone that is struggling with something, and we're, you know, saying, you know, it's fine, just work through it, and we're approving of that. Are we feeding into the mindset that, you know, God's a good God. He wouldn't condemn me to hell. I'm a good person. I'm just dealing with some things. Is that the mindset we're feeding into? Or are we gonna begin to lovingly pursue help for people around us who don't see You've probably heard it said that much like Saul when he was on the road to Damascus and he was hit with this blinding light, he fell off his horse and he got up and he was blind, right? I'll preach through that text a different time. But much like that, where Saul is actively fighting against faith and against Christianity and fighting against God and Jesus. Actively fighting against it. God reaches down and he picks him up and says, I'm going to use you. I'm going to use that passion you have to fight against me to fight for me. And we see a miracle happen, right? We see that he has scales over his eyes. And he's physically blind. But God tells him, go see a man and he's going to touch you. He's going to pray over you. And when that happens, the scales fall off his eyes and he can see. Okay, that's a testimony of a physical life change, right? We need to understand that when each and every one of us come to that realization that we need Christ, we need that relationship with him, and we ask him to come into our lives and to take over our lives and to restore us, to save us, that in a way we also have scales removed from our eyes and we begin to see things that we never realized before. And I know that every person who's made that decision knows what I'm talking about right now. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, such things really mean sin. Paul isn't saying that if you do, although this list is pretty comprehensive and covers just about everything, he's not saying specifically, if you just do this, you're condemned to die. He's saying sin. Everything from little white lie. We know, we understand the Ten Commandments, and the Ten Commandments are amazing in how they cover, even though just 10 little statements, they cover every area of life. The degree of our sin doesn't matter. In God's eyes, sin is sin. And it's judged the same way. As I proceeded to share before we dug into the second portion of 18, Romans 1:18. Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes." As long as we hold on to the gospel of Jesus Christ every day, I don't care how long ago it was that you made a decision to follow Christ, and maybe you haven't yet, but the power of the gospel needs to be kept fresh in your mind each and every day. Because each and every day we go without knowing and understanding that Jesus Christ died for us and saved us from a life of eternal damnation and hell. Every day we go on not knowing that is another day we're living for ourselves and missing the whole point of being created. The gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. I'm going to close. I don't know everyone's individual situation. I don't know if you've made a decision to follow Christ. Or maybe you have and you've kind of walked away from it and you're just trying to figure life out again. I would encourage you to pray with me this morning. I'm going to pray first for anyone who needs to make that decision to walk with Christ, to turn your life over and to give Him control. To be restored into relationship with God. If you are in that place where you're ready to make that decision or you're ready to recommit your life to Christ, I would just ask that you would pray with me. You can pray to yourself. What matters is that you mean it from the bottom of your heart. Let's bow together. God, I thank you for opening my eyes and showing me truth. I thank you that you have allowed me to see your redemptive plan. And Father, I give myself back to you and I accept the gift of salvation from Jesus. Lord, I ask that you would cleanse me in his blood. Lord, make me new. Take hold of your gift of salvation, Lord. I ask that you would guide me and lead me. And I can't do this on my own. Father, I thank you for anyone who is in this place and they're just battling with this decision of if you're true, if you're real. Lord, I ask that you would reveal yourself to them in a powerful way. Lord, maybe they've been in relationship with you, but they've just walked away. I ask, Father, that you would forgive us for our blindness. That you would guide us back into your arms. That we can experience the peace, the grace, the mercy that you give. Lord, we wish to follow you with all of our hearts. Not just in a statement, but in action. Thank you, Jesus, for your gift of restoration and redemption. Let's close our service this morning. Father, I thank you for the challenge from Romans. As Paul is writing to these people, and it sounds so very close to our own culture, our own situation, Lord, that we can receive the truth from your word. Lord, that maybe this message would just work its way into our hearts and into our minds, that it would challenge us each and every day through this week. Lord, that we would be able to lovingly work with our friends and our peers, our co-workers, our neighbors, Lord, as they battle this life without you. Lord, that we can come beside them and show them that there is more to life than just trying to figure it out on our own. Living for the next day, Lord, but instead living for you and finding purpose. Finding hope. Finding peace that we so desperately need. Lord, I pray and ask a blessing over each person as they go about their way today. That you would bless them, Lord. Allow your spirit to work through their hearts, through their minds, through their lives this week. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. If you are wanting to stay for our Hope 101 class, I would encourage you just to stay in here. We're going to be going and picking up lunch for you, and then we will get started as soon as possible. So thank you for coming out today.